And now time for a food safari of sorts, a fairy tale food. It could be just as easily called fairy bread food safari. My guest in the studio is Angela Stafford. She's here to tell me about her new book, which is called Fairy Tale Food Safari. I have it in front of me, and it's a fabulous looking book. It's about trying to get past the issue that creating healthy meals for kids can be time consuming and it can be difficult. But, you know, so how do you cook healthy meals for kids? And should you also teach them to cook that sort of food themselves later on? Angela is the author not only of Fairy Tale Food Safari, but also of another book, author of Wild Vegan. Angela, good morning to you.
Good morning, Michael.
Welcome to the studio.
Thank you.
Now, you grew up in Port Macquarie, but you now live in Brisbane with your husband and two sons.
Yes, that's right.
And you're doing a bit of a tour for the book. Is that the story?
A little bit. I did a book launch in Brisbane and one here, and then I'll do one in Sydney as well, maybe even Blue Mountains.
I was expecting a kind of a normal-sized book that, you know, was a bit of be on the self-help range in the but it's a lovely, what you would call a kind of a coffee table size book. It's full gloss and it's almost like a picture book.
It's
something
is.
Kids could actually open and enjoy what they're looking at. Tell me what drove you, or should I, it's almost a redundant question, what drove you to write a book such as this?
Well, I've always loved cooking and I've always loved art. And this was a way to combine the two. But when I had children, I became really interested in nutrition. And around that time, I also studied kinesiology. And a large part of that study is looking at nutrition. And it gave me a really good grounding in what to do for my kids. I wanted them to have a really good start. I wanted them to have strong immune systems and to also have an understanding of why it was important to eat well.
Just refresh me with the connection between nutrition and kinesiology.
Yeah, sure. Kinesiology is a natural therapy that helps a person to work through any issues, whether they be physical, emotional, or spiritual. And it brings nutrition in because a lot of the time people's sicknesses can be attributed to poor nutrition.
Okay, so now you're dealing in this book not just with meals for kids, but it seems to me that you might be also eventually trying to ultimately set up a kind of a self-sufficiency for children. If they learn the right habits right from the beginning, then they can carry this through life.
Yes, exactly. And so the first 70 pages of the book are actually aimed at children. It's information-based, and there's information in there on how you can get yourself to have a really healthy body, why it's important, what you need to have strong muscles, the effects of junk food, the difference between organic farming and farming that uses pesticides, factory farms and free-range farms, things that children, they may hear little bits of, but they're never actually told in a simplistic way. And usually people don't realise the link between nutrition and diet until they're older and sometimes too late.
Yeah, so there's sections, good fats and bad fats.
Yep.
What is wrong with eating too much junk food? Now, as you said in the first 70 pages, it's almost like a children's book, isn't it?
It is, yes, and that's why I illustrated it with the watercolour paintings.
You did these as well, did you?
Dragons and, yeah, I love paintings.
Oh, they're lovely.
So dragons and fairies and witches and things that children love. And also there's information in there on how to cook, what equipment you need, how to be safe in the kitchen, what foods go together. For example, there's a regional flavours section there and it's all about how to create a meal particular to a region. So say, for example, you might want to make something with Italian flavours. So you use your basil and your tomatoes and capsicums and olive oil, and then you can look up Greece and Asian flavours and things like that.
Are they your kids?
They are. One of them is. Ethan is on the right. He's 10 years old. And the little boy there, he's Jared. That's my sister's child.
That's Jared eating cauliflower.
Yeah.
Rare shot.
Exactly.
What about that boy?
That's my other son, Ryan. He's 8.
Now he's examining, it looks like,
I think it's,
I thought it might have been lavender, but it's not lavender, is it?
No, that is catnip, I think.
Catnip.
Yeah.
So it looks, is it got tips and tricks about how to get kids to eat foods they just do not want to eat?
It does, yes. There's a whole page in there on taste bud training. And I learned when I did kinesiology that our taste buds can be trained. So even though you might find the taste of a food quite repulsive, if you give yourself a little bit of that food every day, you will eventually learn to like it. Now, there's some circumstances where it's not good to eat something you don't like because your body's actually telling you that that's not good for you. But that's where children need to understand that they need to listen to their body. So if they eat something and they feel bad after it, then it's probably a case of an allergy or an intolerance. But if it's just looking at something and saying, I don't like it, for example, with Ryan, my youngest son, he swore he didn't like broccoli. So every day I put a little piece of broccoli onto his plate and he was obliged to eat that very small piece.
Yeah.
Now, at first they can just chew it up and spit it out.
Mm.
It's getting used to the flavour. And after 20 goes...
He realised that he...
He was fine.
He'd kind of inculcated perhaps something even, you know, from kids at school who said broccoli. Ew.
Exactly. And that happens a lot, actually. It used to happen when my eldest son, Ethan, took avocado sandwiches to school. The kids would tease him because they said it, you know, it looked bad. And I think what I found with my kids is when they were younger, it was quite difficult because the other kids were eating different foods.
Mm.
But as they grow up and as they look around and find that while other kids get sick quite a lot and they don't and they have a lot of energy, they're realising that ultimately they need to make their own healthy choices and it's for their benefit.
Yeah, is texture in food an important thing,
think? I think for some children, yes. And you can change textures sometimes by combining different foods. For example, let's say your child doesn't like the texture of certain vegetables. One in our house is zucchini. And myself and my younger son, Ryan, we don't like the texture of zucchini. So what I do when I make a spaghetti bolognese or a curry, I get a zucchini, I pulverize it in the food processor and I mix it in at the end of the cooking. And that way there's no texture there, but we're still getting the benefit of the zucchini.
And is there certain foods that you would advise kids not to eat at certain stages in here? Just wondering from a nutritional point of view whether there's anything along those lines?
Not really. I'd say it's mostly I know a lot of kids have allergies now and I know they delay things like nuts for a longer period. But no, not only babies like honey and things like that. I think you have to wait till they're 6 or 9 months.
You often see kids who just love one thing. They love peas in a pod and they just go for it. Or they love raw carrots. My daughter's loved carrots her whole life and will eat carrots raw and cooked, you know, but a lot of other things she doesn't like. It's kind of weird, isn't it?
It is funny. And I think a lot of the main problem with kids and things like that is the whole issue of control. And when you think about it, a child has very little control over, you know, what they do from day to day and what they're allowed to do and what they're not. Whereas the food is the one place that they can ultimately have control by saying, no, I'm not going to eat that. So it's about teaching them that this isn't necessarily a good way of gaining control because their bodies will suffer in the long run. And that's where the education comes in. And even with the cooking, get kids into the kitchen and help them to really enjoy cooking or get them into the garden growing their own greens or, you know, their own vegetables.
Mm.
And they're more likely to eat them if they've grown them. And if they're educated along the way, even at the supermarket, educate them about why you buy wholemeal flour rather than plain flour. Tell them about the fact that all of those nutrients are stripped from the grain when they make plain flour and then they're not getting anything. Their cells will be starving if they eat white foods, whereas if they eat the nutritious foods, then they're going to be full of energy.
They may or may not absorb that kind of more technical information, but in a sense, you're role modelling, aren't you? And if you show them how what a fun process and what an inclusive process it can be. We all know that kids like to when you're baking the cake, they like to get in and do that the stuff. But
and look, the recipes in there, they're not boring healthy foods. They're things that kids love. I mean, for example, the Bliss Balls. Bliss Balls are balls that are made of things like nuts and seeds, and then you add raw cocoa, which is really nutritious because it hasn't been heat treated, and you sweeten it with honey or maple syrup or dates, and it really does taste like a chocolate. So you don't need to make your healthy food boring. You can actually make it really delicious, and it tastes just as good as its counterpart in the junk food aisle, but it's good for them.
Wow, I'm just having a look at Bliss Balls now, and
there's quite a few variations.
There is. There's the original Bliss Ball, the original but not necessarily the best.
Yep.
There's chocolate goji Bliss Balls, almond and cashew, chocolate mint Bliss Balls, almond and apricot balls, chocolate honey almond.
And even if your child has nut allergies, you can still make Bliss Balls because you can substitute the nuts for things like pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, chia and sesame seeds, and they still get the protein in there.
Do you see yourself as this book as having an educational intent as well for adults?
Definitely, yes, because usually if children don't eat healthy, not always, but usually it is because they're following the habits of their parents, and then that goes back to their parents. It's just an ongoing thing. And once parents are educated, I think they're probably more likely to have motivation for getting their kids involved in the cooking.
Is that yours?
No, that's my brother-in-law's child.
We're looking at a baby here enjoying his rice.
His rice, yes. I had a lot of willing child models for my book.
Oh, it's amazing. And the original flavours, it really is. It's a recipe book, but a children's book at the same time. Lovely, large, glossy book. And the look, I do love the illustrations. You did all those yourself.
Yes, I love to paint.
Wizard's Kitchen. You're very talented, Angela.
Thank you.
Very talented. Is that your chicken? Yeah, are they your chooks?
Yeah, they're my chickens. That one there is with my son, Ryan. Her name's Daisy, and she's very cheeky. And they give us fantastic eggs.
Do you have dogs?
I have one dog.
Because we've got chooks. When I say we, in Sydney, where my stepson lives, and he's got and three dogs living there, and they all just completely ignore each other and get on like
a
house on fire.
That's great.
Don't go. I mean, the chooks just wander around. The dogs, they just ignore them. I think it's because the chooks don't run. The dogs don't see something to chase.
Yeah, and that's it. I don't know how you teach chooks not to run. Ours have to be fenced off.
Oh, do they? Well, I mean, they were chased originally, but I think the dog's got a bit of a pecking back.
That would do it.
Excellent. Look, a great book. It's called Fairy Tale Food Safari, a whole food family cookbook. Written and illustrated by yourself.
That's right. And actually, if anybody is interested and you would like to download a sample of the book, you can do that on my website, which is angelaswildkitchen.com. If you want to purchase the book, just go straight to the purchase page. It's funkidscookbook.com. Right. It's just easier to remember that. And I have a lot of recipes on my website. I update it every week with new recipes and new information about cooking and nutrition.
So the website for the book is simply Fun Kids Cookbook, one word, funkidscookbook.com, but your particular site is?
It's angelaswildkitchen.com, and it is actually all part of the same site. I just did the Fun Kids Cookbook URL for easy remembering.
Okay, angelaswildkitchen.com, so not
No AU.
AngelaswildKitchen.com. Yep. Thank you, Angela, for coming in. Great pleasure
Thank
to have you,
you
in the studio
me.
And lovely book.
Thank you very much,
okay,
Michael.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Angela Stafford, 8 minutes to 10 on ABC Mid-North and North Coast Mornings with Michael Spooner.